Tag Podcast, coming to you Sunday morning from Starbase Indy 2017. Bill Hedrick, or Kolb, is about to put a forehead on a Klingon warrior and discuss his techniques while he does so. Let's listen.
Which I'm sure you'll go over, but it's prosate sure. And basically a thickener.
Oh, okay.
So you, this is essentially, Cabasil is a medical grade thickener.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they put it in foods too, so it's like to make things a little more beefy.
So like cornstarch.
Kind of like cornstarch, only it's.
Yeah. So.
And so what I do.
For flour.
Silica is commonly used for non-food grade before it is for prosthetic stuff to mix it, but silica is wicked on your lungs if you don't have it.
Oh,
if it gets,
yeah.
If it gets in the air, so. But once it's mixed with the prosate, it doesn't get in there.
Yeah. If I open this up in my shop, I've got to take a deep breath before I do, because otherwise it goes on top.
Oh,
okay.
One of those.
Respirator. Yeah. It's something that whenever I mix my cabo patch, I use, I'd actually throw a respirator on just to be safe.
But it's not bad for you, it's just irritating.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I use silica, so.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So.
Yeah, so what I would do is I get a little paper cup, I pour some of this in, pour some prosate, mix it up, and it's not thin enough, I pour a little more, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
The nice thing about making your own cabo patch is you can control the thickness.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you buy it, which you can buy it, it's pre-made. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you cards for the guy I buy stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh! Hey, there's my I was missing that. Last night I just threw stuff in the box. But this guy is this is Fred's.
Fred Nurks, yeah.
Yeah, his website. And he has all kinds of basically any material you'll need.
So Fred also, on a side note, basically for whenever actors get into costume and they do prosthetics at conventions, it's usually Fred's prosthetics they use.
Yeah, Bob uses Fred's. Bob and JG use.
Yeah, there's a couple other ones that do too. Aaron and Max, the Ferengis.
Susie Claxton
yeah.
uses his stuff too.
So.
Okay. Well, anyway, we did a little shortcut here. Why would you use cabo patch? Well, if you get a thick edge on a prosthetic, especially, you know, even with foam, if you use them a couple times, the edge gets a little thick. You mix it, you kind of spackle it on. They also call it Bondo in the trade. Because it functions just like Bondo. You know, and you can blend the edge in, and because there's glue in there, makeup will stick to it.
On a side note, don't use real Bondo.
No. Since I got one of these, I'll just pass this around. So if you haven't seen, you haven't seen
one. I wasn't sure if this is something where you learn to make these.
No, I'm going to apply and talk about how to, the tricks I've got for doing this stuff. And actually, no. That is Valkyries from Star Trek III. But George just started wearing a General Chang. I made a custom for him out of slush latex, and you have for like 10 or 12 years.
Probably 15.
Yeah.
No, I still got it.
It's a pretty. So the slush latex ones, which I do sell as well, they hold up forever.
The key is cleaning the inside.
Yeah, you got to keep all these things. You got to clean.
I've done the General Chang's. I like his old mold better than his new one. It's more pronounced. His new one is too close to the forehead, in my opinion.
Okay. Was it a lot of makeup? I mean, a lot of making up with it to actually give it shadow eyes. Bill made me up the first night and it looked great.
Oh, yeah. Sarah does a great job with me with it.
Okay. Well,
if I had to pick one.
First of all, and you probably didn't, which is fine. Whenever you do an appliance, you clean your skin thoroughly with witch hazel or rubbing alcohol. Take your oils out so the stuff will stick.
I did not. Sorry, busy packing.
That's okay, because you're only going to wear it for like 45 minutes and go. Oh, that's another thing about foam latex is you can reuse it with reasonable care, but if you get a dozen wearings out of this, you are lucky.
I get between with when we do Maggie's Cardassian with her mm-hmm. with Fred's foam pieces.
I think about four or five.
We get five. The best one we got.
It depends on the parts. The forehead of the chin, you can get about maybe six.
Yeah, I was gonna say like six out of the
you
forehead.
You can't get that much out of the neck.
Right. What I do with my foreheads, whether they're foam or sludge latex or whatever, if you ever get pictures taken of yourself, lots of times, no matter how good the color match is between the forehead and your skin, take a picture, this will look gray. The reason that is because your skin is not pink. Your skin is layers and layers and layers of translucent stuff over top of blood and blood vessels and such. So, one of the tricks to use to make this look better is to paint this with a material called PAX paint. Which again is half prosaid and half acrylic paint. I'm painting the blood and blood vessels in this and the texture, and then I'm going to lay color over top of it. The color will all match, but again, it'll read more alive because the red will come through. I haven't had a lot of sleep either, so. next thing, and this is invaluable, especially if you glue stuff over your eyebrows. I learned that again this weekend when I didn't use it. This is like Elmer's school glue.
Disappearing purple.
Yes.
I have like.
I was gonna say, this is exactly what it looks like, and I don't even have my glasses on.
Yes.
We have like 15 vials of it at home.
Sure.
Yes,
so what you do is you, especially if you have wonderful eyebrows, is you run the glue backwards through the eyebrows and forwards, and what this does is this protects the eyebrows from the glue and
away from the embalmer's wax.
Yeah, that was just, it's dead to me. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep giving me straight lines, Jordan. I love it. This is also very useful. You can actually use this, build this up to, like, if you're going to block your eyebrows out to do a Vulcan, or if you want to paint your eyebrows up here. This trick I learned from drag queens. If you're watching makeup tips on contouring and shadowing on YouTube, so drag queen stuff is invaluable because
they know what they're doing.
Because they have to do a lot of it sometimes.
Well, unlike the average beauty makeup, drag queens have to basically change their shape of their face.
Mm-hmm.
More often than.
And again, this is water. Like, this washes out with water, soap and water. So, which is cool.
It's a material called PVA, I believe, which is just water soluble.
Yeah, I got this. Then. Until you know where your piece goes on your face, and if you use the same piece, you'll know where to glue. What I like to do is take a little powder, lay the piece on your head. It's about right that, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and then just powder like here, lightly, so you have a guideline for where to paint the glue. There are a number of ways of actually applying glue. What I like to do is in, paper cup. I can do
that. Got a styrofoam cup if you want.
Hmm?
I have an empty styrofoam cup.
That's good. That's good. Is I pour a little glue in the bottom of a standard paper cup or styrofoam cup or your mom's fine china if you don't like her. And tear a little bit of a sponge off. These are just plain cosmetic sponges you can get at dollar store or Target or wherever, Walmart. And yeah, I should have a sugar cup. That's fine. We'll work with what we got. And you just follow the lines and apply your glue. Now this is prosaid. This is really what, unless you're, again, you're using silicone appliances, this is what we recommend using. It is the it's the industry standard. And unless you have a latex allergy, because there is a little latex in this, and if you have a latex allergy, you shouldn't be using latex appliances. But so okay, and you follow your lines here, and if you've ever glued with, paper glues or any or construction adhesive or anything like that, it's the same sort of method. You apply to both the skin and the appliance, and you let it get tacky. I'm going to cheat here because I don't like this. The way the sponge is working at the moment.
Hey Bill, all the time I get asked about spirit gum. What do you think about spirit gum?
I'll use it in a pinch. I've got a little here. It's what I always used to use until I discovered Prosaid, because it was kind of like the industry standard for 100 years. There are so much better glues out there now. And this is it's white now, and you wait for it to tack up and get almost completely dry. Actually, with Prosaid, you can let it get completely dry because it stays sticky, which is sometimes a problem. Then, while you're waiting on that, what I like to do, because this tends to overhang your eyebrow, your eyes. I like to apply my base to the around the eyes. So, what I use for colors is I use mostly cream. A lot of people are going to alcohol-based makeups, which are really nice, but they tend to be a little expensive. For instance, one of these costs me. It's a half an ounce. It'll run you $12-$15.
What brand is that?
This is Graftobian. I use Graftobian. I use Ben Nye. I use Krylon is a little more expensive. Mayron is very good as well. For a reasonable palette, you're going to pay a little bit for alcohol-based makeup. But the nice thing about it, alcohol-based makeup, is once you get them applied, you can literally spill water on them. You can sweat. They stay on until you take it off. Well, so it's good stuff to work with, but there is an initial investment. I was looking at a palette of alcohol-based makeup that's going to run me $70. Of course, again, that's a half a dozen colors, so it kind of you do the cost benefit analysis and figure out.
So how do you like the Ben Nye?
Ben Nye's okay. Ben, you know, I always feel like the not what's on this end of the makeup brush so much as what's on this end. So, and what I do, and this is standard theater practice, is you have, and I'm going a little darker on her just for demonstration purposes. You have a base color, a highlighter, and a shadow. That's basically what you need. You know, you can do a lot more than that, but just for basic stuff. Because what you want to do is, when you apply a base color, it tends to flatten the face out visually. And when you're doing a character makeup, you're also trying to show character. So, you know, you'll want to give him a nice stern look, or or if you, my character has a scar, so I'm going to paint a scar down her, you know. So anyway, this is going to be pretty quick here. So, close your eyes, please. You know, just do a quick run through here, because that's where the ridges are going to be. And now this is pretty dry. And one nice thing about Prozade, as opposed to spirit gum, if you put it on before it's dry, it's going to fall off. It just will. Prozade is a lot more forgiving. So, and you always start with the center of the piece. And you glue up and you apply it outward. And you may run into some place where you didn't quite get enough glue on, but that's okay. You can always come back and put more in there. Usually I pre-color the piece because it gets less sticky, but we're gonna play from that. And you can also, obviously you can trim this, which I can't do because my scissors is packed in another box. But like here, if you look here, you see this has gone back too far. What I normally do is just trim this back, and a lot of people are really hesitant to trim this stuff, but yeah, you can do it. It's not a problem at all. Also, I left the edges uncolored a little bit because, again, this is foam rubber, so it's a sponge. So you can actually apply glue on top and it'll soak through. And it'll help it lay down too. Now, as I was saying, we were talking a little earlier and we're not going to do it here, but if you have a thick edge, they sell a product called Cabo Patch, which is a silicone, not silicone. It's a food grade filler material mixed with Prozade, and you can use it like spackle, basically to hide and cover edges. Right now, I'm just going to use a little Prozade to do that, because these edges are not too bad. That one. Alright, I'm going to actually mix up a little Cabo Patch and fill that. This edge is, I hate that edge. That doesn't look good. Hey guys, if you got any questions, feel free to ask here. I've been doing this for, about 40 years. I started. And you apply the Cabo Patch actually to the skin. And normally I would use a spatula. But guess what I did not?
And let's put that on, blend it in. Put another layer on there if you're not happy. And feel a little skin texture with the back of your finger. This is a semi-advanced technique, but anyway, let's get back to the coloring. So now I'm going to color the forehead and just lay the color on. Some people like sponges. I use a lot of brushes. And this is actually the most time-consuming part of it, frankly. That's why you usually pre-color. And the pieces I sell, I will pre-color to match your skin tone. That's part of the process, part of the thing. So hopefully when you get it out of the box, you can just slap the glue on, put the piece on, do the makeup to your heart's content, and go forth and claim. And I used to think I was doing it wrong until I start watching makeup videos and realizing you're not going to get the exact color and shading you want immediately. You have to do layers of coloring in order to get everything looking the way you want it. Get rid of that powder a little. Okay. And a lot of the techniques I use are basic stage makeup techniques. And done. The thing with stage makeup techniques is they are generally a little stronger and less subtle than you want at a con, but it's the same technique, it's just done more subtly. One thing I was telling somebody earlier, I actually have a really nice hairline on my ridges because I figured out a technique for that of laying hair, loose hair, around the top of the ridges. And helps blend everything in. So, begin to think I should have pre-painted this because it's taking a little more time than I thought. Okay, lean your head back, please. There are three or four different kinds of makeup. There is cake makeup, theatrical, and you should always use theatrical makeup. Well, I know people would argue. Some people prefer street makeup. I generally think theatrical makeup gets you you can do a lot more effects with it. But there's water-based makeup, like what we used to call pancake makeup, and that's really, I love it. I used to use it for when I was doing makeup for high school productions. I would use it all the time because you wave anything with oil at the face of a high school kid, you get pimples everywhere. It's also easy for them to apply. All they have to do is grab a sponge, go to the bathroom, and just slobber it on. Okay, open your eyes, please. If you can. Just put a little layer of color down there and down there. Then there's the old reliable that people have been using for a couple hundred years called grease paint. Mm-hmm. Grease paint is not really that popular anymore because it's thick, heavy, greasy, and it is requires a certain amount of skill to use. So.
Take off.
Yeah, and it is a pain to take off. When I was doing theater back in the they literally told you run a layer of Noxzema on your face first, then take this hard stick of makeup and scrub it all over your face. Oh, yeah. So cream makeup was the answer to that, because it is, it has the workability. Oh, that's the one advantage. Four. How high does your costume come? On your neck.
I think with that one, it's going to cover most of it.
It has AR.
Okay, there is a collar. That is the thing, too, is whenever you're doing a makeup and you're doing a skin color change, always find where the costume comes and go like a half an inch or so below it. Otherwise, it ruins. You'll twist and turn, and people will say, wait, that's not your skin tone. And you want to be believable. Also, do ears. Because ears also show up when you don't do it properly. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to come back and do some highlighting. And which, generally speaking, your highlighting color should be a couple shades lighter, and your shading color should be a couple shades darker. But because this is cream, it's much more forgiving, and you can fix things. So, and one of the ways to hide the edges of things is to run the highlighter actually from the piece down onto the skin. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get this glued down because it's in her hair and I don't want to glue her hair down. So, but now I come back and do this. Oftentimes when you're doing highlighting, well, your base color can be actually a little darker than you want to end up with if you use a highlighter. Now I'm giving her the mean Klingon cheekbones and lines as well. So, and this, you know, again, you're just going to have to play with the coloring until you get it right, until you get it where you're happy.
Hey, Sarah, does it feel weird to be in the makeup chair?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to run this highlight down here, run your cheekbones up there, run your growl line. We're going to call that a growl line. And put more highlighter there, and up there, more down the middle of your nose, and on your chin. Now, before we blend any of this together, that looks really weird. I like to use as little shadowing as I can. As otherwise it all turns into a muddy mess. But then I just lightly where I want the depth of the piece. I'm actually working a little darker than I would recommend for this. But again, it's for the effect. And to show you what you can accomplish. And once you get to know your face, and know my face, I was born with this. How do I not know this face? Well, yeah, but it's to know where the lines are, know where the folds are, know where all the character lines are in your face. It gets much faster. This is a technique I just came up with. You blend it all together. I may have seen it online, I don't know, but I'm starting to use it now. You blend things together here, and you keep blending, and you may need to use a different brush because this one is not as friendly as I hoped it would be. Let me get a different brush for that one. That's a little soft. You know, my old shop teacher, or he was a master carpenter I worked with for years, he said his mantra was, it's not the mistakes you make, it's the mistakes you leave. So, if you do happen to have a goober, or you say, oh, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done it that way. You can come back and fix things quite easily. Well, you can come back and fix things. Whether it's easy or not depends on how bad the mistake was to start with. So, yeah, kabuki brushes are not really designed to do this, but this seems to be a great tool for this sort of thing, for blending. The other thing I'm thinking about, I haven't done it yet, is they have these little foam blending sponges that are made just for this sort of purpose. Well, I'm going to try it, but I don't want to try something new in a demo.
Brave.
Yeah, I'm brave, but I'm not foolish.
Are you talking about the wedge shaped ones?
Well, they're like little round bullet, big bullet kind of things. Or,
oh, I've seen them. Some of them have some weird shapes though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Other
thing you'll run into eventually, as you start doing this, is you'll end up needing more brushes,
mm-hmm.
and more brushes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you need to do after buying more brushes?
Get more brushes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay. So here we're going to give you some character.
Oh, and don't use your expensive brush on prosaic.
No, do not do that. Chip brushes are cheap. You get them at Home Depot or Menards or wherever, and you can. Yeah, you're gonna be a badass when you get down here. And I have not applied a Klingon nose to her, but I'm gonna make it look like I did. So. Yeah, if you ever see a makeup artist, he's got more makeup on his hand than he does on the on the person.
Prop making the same way.
And I come back with my little blending brush here. Oh, that's not the blending brush I wanted. Out. Q-tips. Q-tips are great for this sort of thing. Soften that. Earlier we were talking about costuming. We were talking about distance in costuming. And the same thing is true in makeup. There are two-inch makeups, there's two-foot makeups, and there's 50-foot makeups. The thing is, most people, especially at conventions, well, most people, unfortunately, think it has to be a 2-inch makeup, that it looks good from 2 inches away. I don't disagree with that. I actually do that myself. But where you're going for, or what you're aiming for, is probably a 2 to 10 foot makeup. Something that looks good from 2 to 10 feet away. Because unless you're doing what I'm doing right now, nobody's going to get this close. Okay. Now, let me look. Yeah, okay. I'm going to get her a little more rosy color just to bring it closer to the actual piece. And I lucked out. This was $10 at Sears. I picked it up the day after Christmas where they had a 50% off. So I got this for $5 at Sears. So I'm going to, I don't care. It's $5. I'm going to get it. And what we're going to do is put a little more little rosy glow into your skin here. Find just the right one. And a lot of this, it's kind of like fishing. If you've ever gone fishing, you probably know the term, throw your tackle box at it. If something isn't working, you just grab something at will. Okay, we're gonna do, oh, the old rule of, it's a makeup rule. Wherever there's a highlight, I mean, wherever there's a shadow, there's a highlight, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So you want to do shading underneath all the highlighting. And I'm gonna come back here with a shading color that's a little redder, just to pull the color in. Yeah. And blend that out so the colors pop a little better. And like I was saying, you end up doing layers, so we're going to come back and put some more highlight on that just to accent those cheeks some more. Cheekbones. And when it comes to eyeshadow and mascara, I really prefer to let the person do it themselves. Because though I'm comfortable poking you in the eye, you may not be comfortable with me poking you in the eye, so we're not going to do that.
I poke myself in the eye enough. I'm one of those freaks that it doesn't bother me when other people are touching my eye.
And again, wherever there's a highlight, and wherever there's a shadow, there's a highlight. So I'll actually make it look like that's actually is a fold to the skin there. Come back with a fine brush. That's not fine enough. Oh, there's my spatula.
How you find it?
You ever find it? Yeah, so these kind of spatulas I got at a modeling store.
Clay modeling, I believe.
Yeah. You can get them in clay stores. And it's invaluable, you know, because you can use this to put that stuff on, or if you're blocking out eyebrows, you get a big chunk of that and smush it through the eyebrows and stuff. We don't need it now that I don't. Now that I would have needed it. Okay. Sharpen this line just here a little bit. And now I'm going for the, Bob was talking yesterday, Bob O'Reilly, about experience in one of the clients was having in the makeup chair. The guy was, the makeup artist was painting all the little lines on his face, all the little veins and capillaries and stuff, and it was, of course, taking forever. So the actor said, "You really need to do that?" And the guy and the makeup artist said, "If it was TV, no. We're projecting you on 70 millimeter giant screen, so everything has to look real."
So this would have been for one of the movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So fan conventions and stuff are much more forgiving for that sort of thing. Why didn't I? Such an idiot.
Do you know for Rubber and Martok and all of them, did they use foam slush during that period of time?
Yes. Foam latex was actually developed by the makeup genius Dick Smith. Normally what I would, in the early 60s or late 50s. So the whole principles of foam latex are pretty well established. John Chambers, when he did the makeup for Planet of the Apes in 1968. Yeah. Those were all foam latex appliances they used. And the genius of those pieces is when the actors sweat, the sweat came through the appliance. Well, let's see here. Try doing this. That's it. Again, I didn't pack my scissors, so I can't cut this the way I normally would. Putting eyebrows on. This stuff here is crepe hair. It's been used in the theater industry for, again, hundreds of years. And it's cheap. It works great. You can do beards. You can do eyebrows. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. Effects. I literally did a guy was doing a gag on his wife. He had a nice mustache. He shaved it off. I put it back on with crepe hair. She didn't know. Until he did this. And she. So that was fun. So yeah, you can actually, and you can mix this stuff. I mix it because I want to get just the correct gray for my eyebrows. So this is going to be a little bush because I'm going to have to improvise just a touch. And generally, what though Prozade is great, I prefer liquid latex to do the eyebrows because it's more substantial and gives it something a little something more to anchor to. And if you do it correctly, the hair will stay on forever. You get some neat effects here. Pretty neat effect here. And I've seen Klingons do stuff without eyebrows. I think that's a mistake. Again, it makes it look more real. How are we doing for time here?
15 minutes or so.
15 minutes or so? Oh, good. I'll be in good shape. Questions. Give me some questions here. Otherwise, I will just keep plugging away.
If they sweat through the prosthetic, wouldn't that take off the makeup too?
No.
Okay.
One of the makeups that they still use for prosthetic work is called rubber mask grease paint.
Mm-hmm.
And rubber mask grease paint, back up a little bit. The reason I use PAX is because otherwise the oils in cream makeup will eventually break down the latex.
Okay.
And so they came up with rubber mask grease paint, which was castor oil based. And castor oil is not petroleum. And it likes rubber. So you can actually use it there. So, I'm actually gonna do a little eyeliner. So they use rubber mask grease paint, and it is like three times as thick as regular grease paint. So,
okay.
But I've worn it, it's hell. Okay, let's see. I am going to give you some do a little eyeliner on you, since you have told me you don't mind me poking you in the face.
No, it's bothering me.
Okay. And you can use regular eyeliner, or, you know, if, like many of us, when you're at a con, you realize, oh crap, I don't have everything. Use what you got. Look up, please. No, open your eyes. And this is just I'm not great at this, but this is standard eyeliner, standard makeup technique. And if you were going to, and generally, again, you just, because of the overhanging brow, unless your piece doesn't have an overhanging brow, you only have to do the bottom eyeliner. That makes your eyes pop a little bit more. Again, this is optional depending on what you like. If it works, great. I'm done there. Just want to put one more. Couple more lines here. We're almost done. Then the again, I threatened to do this, so I'm going to. We're going to give you a really gnarly battle scar. And what I'm using for that is Ben Nye's bruise wheel, which has some really nice nasty colors. There's a guy at my local convention who does the battle damage Kirk. He's got the yellow top that's all torn, and I routinely give him black eyes and bruises all over his body, and it's fun. So this is more of a, let's turn you just a little bit so the guys can see. So we're gonna go. I did years ago we did the Klingon Christmas Carol, and some of the not extras, but they were doing minor parts. One of the gals was a pretty good makeup artist, and I did a scar on myself. So she had to do a bigger scar. Next performance, mine was bigger. So hers was bigger still. By the end of the run, we both looked like we should go to the hospital or something. And this is a Klingon Fight. What's the first rule of Klingon Fight Club? There you go. Another product which is great for this, and it'll give you the 2-inch makeup, is called Rigid Collodion, because it literally is like it'll dry and pucker your skin. And you put about a half dozen layers on there, and it looks like a real scar. I mean, it looks like you've really got a serious healed over scar. This is kind of gravy to the makeup at this point. I'm just trying to give it a little dimensionality. Another thing you can do, if you have one of these edges, again, lay up loose hair on the edges. And I've actually used crepe hair, but it's not good for that so much because it's generally kinkier and wavier. But if you would lay it up on the edges, you would get this effect here. I'm not going to glue it down, but you can imagine what that looks like glued down. It actually does look like hair growing out of the piece, which is a very convincing effect. Then, last little bit. And this is kind of do it to taste, your personal taste. Especially when I do brown makeup on a woman. Oh, I'm going to talk a little bit about blackface. Don't. Yeah. No, this is not hard to know. If you're doing an alien race who is ruddy, who is purple, who is whatever, fine. If you're doing like Zoe from Firefly, do the costume, not the makeup. Stick with your own. It's kind of insulting. So don't do it. That wasn't hard.
There was a big kerfuffle at San Diego Comic-Con this year when a woman ran into a black woman ran into a white woman cosplaying Guinan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I have photos.
And the woman painted her face brown as Guinan.
And not even a good job at it on top of that.
And it was... And then said, as a white woman, that she was there to represent black women. And I was
open
like, there's not a black woman I know
digging.
Who needs my white
okay,
ass to help her
get,
represent herself.
And we're good.
So
let's
it's
put the costume
really, you, everybody knows what that costume looks like. You can, and you do not have to. You do not have to go there.
The argument I was told about it, like that I seen online, was, well, nobody would know who she was without the makeup.
What?
Then your costume sucks.
The hat was. There was nothing but guy in the hat.
If people don't know who you're portraying from your costume is bad. You might as well have a sign around your neck saying, I am Guinan. No, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bad, 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 bad. And it's interesting, though, trying to get through to people sometimes with this is like talking to that wall.
You can be respectful.
Yeah. I mean,
very easy.
And if there's any question, ask somebody. Don't just assume you know the answers.
And admit your ignorance.
Yeah.
No one will be offended.
No. If anything, they'll feel happy. They'll feel grateful that you said, excuse me, is this okay? Is this a problem? And if they say yeah, don't do it.
They're having the conversation that we had yesterday, Bill.
Huh?
About putting your costume on before you do your makeup or after you do your makeup.
Oh.
I do a combination when I do my Klingon. I have to get into my neck piece first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And usually I have to get into my
there are cards for the makeup store where I buy my supplies. It's great. And I'll give you my card. I'll throw my cards out there in case you just want to buy my stuff. Which I have. I've got stuff here. So.
Yes, I know.
So.
Tell me what you really
think. I do a mixture too.
Why?
Actually, I put, because I'm wearing a long wig, you probably have, I don't know, I like to put the costume on first.
At least the top hat has to go on first.
Yeah.
And because I wear a corset, actually the very first thing I have to put on are my shoes and my boots.
Yes.
Yes.
As soon as I lace myself up, I can't get into my shoes and my boots by myself.
So many times
it's an old thing from Recreators. Boots first, then corset.
Huh?
I always do that myself. Except that I don't wear a corset. And again, I wish I had my scissors. But actually, that gets kind of a neat effect there. Really wide.
Now afterwards, when you take it off, you have to clean all the makeup off the...
No, I would leave the makeup on the front. You can leave the makeup on the front. And generally, what I recommend for the back is you wash the back with like rubbing alcohol.
Right.
And then you powder it down. Makeup remover. There are a lot of good makeup removers. I actually like this.
I'm sorry.
This is, it's a cocoa butter moisturizing body oil. The main ingredient is isopropyl mesterate. So whenever I'm looking for stuff to use, I always looking for the back because the isopropyl mesterate will take off the Prozac. It'll clean your pro and give you a nice, smooth, shiny skin.
My wife and I used to do clowning.
Uh-huh.
And we also do face painting. That's the reason why I asked about the Ben Nye, because it's a soy base and it washes off just with soap and water. Really.
Oh, okay.
But
I did not
flesh
know
tone, your flesh tone, you can actually get different tones of color.
Yeah, it's stage makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
You can buy kits designed for your skin tone. You can get an entire box kit. I think they're
right.
Usually like 40 or 50 bucks. That comes with everything you need, from powder to multiple to a cream to a highlighter, shadowing.
And then you still like with that, you would apply the tone that you'd want, and then you'd apply it like a.
Mm-hmm.
We would go back through and powder, and if you put another layer on. Like a little darker, it's kind of blended in, then you'd powder again.
Right.
It seals it in.
Now, I did not powder her face here. I would probably do that. I do that to myself. The other thing you can do, especially if you're doing long makeup. You're going to be in it all day. Yeah. Spray.
The seven sprays.
Yeah.
And you can buy cheap, you can actually Elf brand cosmetics.
Yeah.
Which you can get at Target or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little black bottle and it's a makeup setting spray. And it's way cheaper than the stuff you can get at like a fancy costume shop. And it does exactly the same thing.
And here's something that might be even cheaper. Aquanet.
Hairspray.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. Industrial. Yeah. Or, you know, hey, I got the spray lacquer I put on my props.
It'll stay
for a long time.
With the hairspray, you'll get more of a shine to it.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
It's on your skin, and the setting sprays are designed to.
Yeah, they are matte finish. Yeah. So, I when I'm doing this kind of coloring, you have to bring your lipstick coloring to match what your finished skin is, not what
you're feeling.
Not don't just grab the lipstick out of yourself. This is obviously for women.
Unless you're a rock star.
Exactly. Most guys probably. Well, George, you wear lipstick most of the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's wearing it right now. Can't you tell?
Down Matte Cosmetics came out with a great color called Cling It On when they did a 50th anniversary.
Oh,
Star Trek
fabulous! I did
makeup, and the Cling It On is like almost like a black purple.
Yeah.
It's a really cool color.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a really cool color for men as well as women, depending on what they're.
Oh, sure.
Because
I like using brown makeup, a brown lipstick with brown makeup, just because it. But yeah, the other option, I might put black lipstick on. I have a friend of mine, Albany Kirchhoff, who is a wonderful cosplayer, and she wears that head, as a matter of fact, and she is a woman of color. And she does black lipstick and her normal skin tone with that.
Yeah.
So it looks great. So a lot of this is playing with it and figuring out what works for you. And again, I'm going to make a plug for my stuff here. I have heads if you need foreheads. And or if you if not now, I have an Etsy store that you can buy stuff from. And I will finish it and get it to you. All you have to do is go. Walk out.
Bill, just for those that are listening to the podcast here, how do they go about allowing you to match their skin tones? What do they need to do?
Just send me a good color picture of your head, of your face. The skin tones, I can't guarantee 100% match because, again, if I'm working with you personally in the room, we can do that. If I'm working off a photo, I can't guarantee the photo is going to accurately represent your skin, but it'll get me in the neighborhood. And I have some very good colors that people have been very happy with.
That's the best to get a photo with.
Well, just take a
Well, I mean, should you kind of like prepare it where it's like, you know, without the oil or...
Oh, for the photograph?
Will that make it...
No, just send me, you know... Grab your phone, go take a selfie, and send it to me.
What's the best lighting they should use, though, for taking the picture?
Well,
natural light, indoor light?
I like natural, well. I would say indoor light, because generally you're going to be wearing it inside. If you were doing a shoot out on a movie shoot out in the woods or something, give me a picture from outside. Oh, interesting thing. I was, that even the professionals have problems with, is I was showing pictures of costuming we did for Planet of the Apes. If you go back and look in the movie, they have shots of Zira and Cornelius indoors, the costumes are the same color. They go outside, they're different colors. So, you know, it's... You have to be aware of the color, your color, where you're gonna wear it, and all kinds of things like that. I know I did a Halloween party where I did myself up as Undead Bobby Singer from Supernatural, and really simple makeup because, you know, it's dark and it's going to be dark and stuff. You're not going to want to go, oh, let's see, let's get that line just right. Oh, I need to get the shadowing. I painted myself really pale, put a bullet hole in my head and a little shading around the eyes and I was done. Any other questions I can answer? General makeup questions? Any other?
Going back to the contacting view, would it be helpful if they added a color reference card to the photo if they have one?
That might help, but again, I can't guarantee 100% accuracy, but that's really, that might be what we're doing here a little. Well, thank you. There's my card. There's the card from the makeup store I buy stuff from. And if you want to paw through my box of ridges, feel free.